Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate on our gospel reading from Matthew 25 under the theme of keeping our lamps lit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you that we can read it and hear it in our own language. We thank you that you speak to us through it and through the gift of your Holy Spirit, whom we pray that you send us this day as we meditate upon your word. In Jesus' name, amen. How do we keep the fire of faith burning in our lives when there is a lot that threatens to extinguish it on a daily basis? How do we keep our lamps lit? How do we burn for Christ without getting burnt out in the process? How do we ensure that our faith is a steady glow rather than just a flash in the pan? Or in the words of today's parable, how do we make sure we've got some oil in reserve? Some oil in reserve as we wait for the coming of our heavenly bridegroom. We're fast approaching the end of the year, what's been a very challenging year for many people, for many reasons. And many people, I think, at least those who talk to me, are feeling like they're pretty much running on empty. But they haven't got much left. There's not much in reserve at the moment. We were told at a recent pastors' conference, pastors' retreat, that there is a high number of pastors in our South Australian Northern Territory district at the moment on sick leave or stress leave or annual leave or some kind of leave. And I imagine that's similar across various professions, that people are feeling worn out, like there's not much left in the tank at this time of year. The Sproul family in Unkarumpa at the moment, working, providing medical support for Bible translators and the villagers. If you read their newsletter, which has been in pigeonholes for the last week or so, it sounds like it's been a pretty challenging year for them as well. Pretty challenging in terms of depleted staff numbers and depleted resources in what already is one of the most under-resourced places in the world. How are they hanging in there? How are they keeping their lamps lit? How are they ensuring some spiritual longevity? And how can we? Well, I think today's parable gives us some insights. So we might jump over the next one. That just shows where they are for those who don't know. And on to our outline. Today's parable speaks to us about the value of being wise, being watchful, and being welcoming as we wait for the coming of Jesus Christ. And this is how it begins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. It's a fairly basic premise, this premise of this parable, but there are a few things that we might easily miss. The first one is that these 10 women are called virgins, which means in the context they're young, they're not married. But even more important than that, for the sake of the parable, is they take the role of what we would call bridesmaids. So they're part of a bridal party, and their role in the parable and in the context is to serve the bride and the groom, like a bridal party does today, to be there for the bride and the groom. And the task that they're performing specifically in the parable is that the bridesmaids were to go out and to be ready to meet the bridegroom when he came. Assumedly, he could be coming from a long distance, and he could show up any time, day or night. They didn't know precisely. And so their task was to be there with these lamps lit so he could see where he was going and arrive at the right place, the right destination. That was their task, to be there with their lamps lit. Now, the distinction within the group is that some are called wise. And wise here means sensible and savvy and thoughtful about the task that they're to perform. And the others are called foolish. And foolish means thoughtless, about the task and blasé about what they're supposed to be doing. It's the word moros in Greek, which is where we get our word moron from in English. Not to put too strong a point on it, but that's kind of how they're described. So we got the wise and the foolish. The wise come prepared, the foolish don't. The wise expect the unexpected, the foolish don't. Patrick and Unca mentioned something in their newsletter, some advice they were given, and it was repeated in a different form in that little clip. They remember being told, get comfortable being uncomfortable. And that stood out to me. It stood out as pretty wise advice when going into this sort of work. Now, I can imagine that those bridesmaids out there waiting day and night, rain, hail or shine, for this bridegroom to show up, I can imagine that was a fairly uncomfortable task in many ways. But it speaks to us of what Christian service is all about. Because Christian service is not a quick fix, but a slow burn, a steady glow, an enduring presence. And what really made me glad reading through that newsletter was the very simple fact that Patrick and Unca had decided to stick it out in Papua New Guinea this year. Because I imagine the temptation to come home, and I'm sure none of us would have blamed them for choosing to come home when the pandemic hit, and yet they decided to stick it out. And I'm sure the people on the ground especially were incredibly thankful for that reality, that fact. Being wise. It's not always what it might look like from the world's perspective, but from a Christian perspective, that endurance in a task that's God-given is being wise. Secondly, being watchful. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, we read, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Reminds me of the disciples in Gethsemane. Remember? They all became drowsy and they fall asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "He is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And we know what happens next. It's quite a jarring part of the parable, what happens next. The foolish ones are running out of oil and they ask the wise ones for some, but the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and us. You'd better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they're gone, they miss the boat. Now, first notice how the bridegroom comes unexpectedly. Midnight, here he is, he's arrived. Now, he takes a long time. He seems delayed, he seems held up. It's like he's never going to arrive. And then he's there, unexpectedly. Maybe you've been to weddings like this. Usually it's the bride who's delayed these days, and people are waiting for her to show up. I always ask at rehearsals, "So what time do you actually think you're going to show up?" Usually just trying to make a point. But they all say the same thing, you know, on time, maybe a few minutes late. Okay, sure. The bridegroom's coming. They know he's coming. They're waiting for him to come. He seems like he's never going to come. And all of a sudden he's there, just as he promised. See how it's expected, but it's unexpected. He's delayed, but all of a sudden he's there. And their task is to be ready for his coming. Now, I think what jars with us is, why don't these wise ones share what they have with these foolish ones? Isn't that what we're supposed to do as Christians? Share what we have? And there's plenty of places we could go to in Scripture to hear, yeah, we're supposed to share what we have, be generous to those in need. But the point of this parable is a little bit different, the point that's being made. The point is that these wise ones have their priorities right. And they know the task to which they've been called. Because their whole duty, their whole purpose in this moment is to make sure that they are present with those lamps lit when that bridegroom arrives. That's what they're called to do. And to jeopardize that purpose, it's not being kind to the foolish, it's being foolish to the ones who have called them. And so that's why they say no. And it's a wise no. It's an important no. Being watchful is about being there, being here, being in prayer, being in the Word of God, being present with each other and present with Christ and present where Christ meets us, being receptive to Him. And it's about watching out for those people and pressures and persecutions that would call us away from our post. And every day there's things. And it might be people in our lives. And it might be interests and hobbies, and it might be money and work, and could be our reputation or whatever it is. There's always things that approach us, even maybe very mildly and very gently, just asking for a bit of oil. But the danger is that we give up the one thing that sustains us for our task, the one thing needful, the faith God has implanted in us, and that we can never do. The wise virgins, they know their task. Now, they're not the judge of their foolish friends. They're not the saviour of their foolish friends. Of course, they should listen to them. They should speak truth and love to them. They should be there for them. They should even help them if they can. But what they can never do is give up their oil. What they can never do is run themselves dry and sell the bridegroom short. Because their task is to be there when he arrives. They know their priorities. That's what makes them wise. Finally, being welcoming. While they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you." Therefore, Jesus says, "Keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The parable ends on a sober note, unlike most wedding banquets, right? It's a sober note. It's a warning. It's a caution. And it's meant to be like that. It's meant to say to us, you have one task, one main task as the church of God, and that is to keep the faith. To keep those little flames flickering, to keep the faith. That is your task. You're not told, at least not as an individual, you know, that you have to convert the nations and set the world on fire and inspire the multitudes. You know, in one sense, that is the work of the church, but if you think that's your work as an individual, it's no wonder you'll get burnt out very quickly by it. The task given today to these bridesmaids, the task given to every one of us, is to keep that flame of faith flickering in our lives. To maintain that steady glow, despite that which comes and tries to extinguish it. So that we're ready to welcome Christ by faith. So that we're ready with that oil of the Holy Spirit. We have something in reserve because we've been receiving from God, listening to His word, taking in His sacrament. That's the oil. That's what keeps us going and nourishes us so that we can serve as God wants us to serve. We're not the judge of the world. We're not the savior of the world. We're called to be wise with what we've been given and to serve with the gifts God provides us. You know, if we can pray for the Sprouts, we should pray. And pray fervently. And we'll do that today in our prayers. If we can give financially to the Sprouts, we should give. And most of us can give. And we should give. And we'll do that today. We'll take up an offering for them. If we can encourage them in any way, if we can email them, write a letter to them, let them know we're here and that we care about the work they're doing, we should do that as well. And yet at the end of the day, our work as the people of God is to keep that flame of faith flickering in our own lives and our own communities too. And we do that not so much by focusing on the great works of faith, but by keeping our eyes fixed on the object of our faith, on Jesus Christ our Lord, the light of the world, the light shining in the darkness, the one who enlightens and inspires us to do what he calls us to do. What a privilege and a joy to be invited to serve him, and even more so to be invited to his wedding feast that has no end. let's pray that he would find us ready. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us to this life of faith. We thank you that you've strengthened our faith through the gift of your Holy Spirit and your word. Please continue to do so. Give us oil in reserve so that we may never run dry, run empty when it comes to the things of your kingdom. Lord, thank you that you have called us into lives of service. Please direct those, inspire those, and show us how we should channel the good works that you want from us. But Lord, overall, comfort us. Grant us grace through your mercies that we may have all we need to live this life of faith where you have placed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.